Welcome to Kidmen Talk, the show that equips and encourages you in children's ministry. I'm your host, Carl Bastian, a.k.a. The Kidologist, creator of Kidology.org, the website where thousands come every day to search for creative classroom ideas, to find helpful resources, to post a job listing or opening, to read through the vast resource directory for a performer or a camp or any number of things, to find online training or even a personal coach, or to ask specific questions in the forum about the issues that they're facing, or just to listen to the show while they surf the site. Well, today's show is sponsored by K Magazine, which features an article this month from me on unleashing your creativity, and by the letter F. Well, thanks for your feedback via Twitter at Kidmen Talk, in the forums, and by email at carl@kidmentalk.com. Well, once again, it's time to talk Kidmen. One of the things I enjoy doing on this show is exposing you to resources and great music. So this week, I'm going to be telling you about one of my favorite CDs by a man named Craig Anderson, and his website is worshipforkids.com. I love this CD, Craig's Kids. My son, there was a period of time where this thing was playing nonstop in my car. The CD is still in my car. We got it on iTunes and Apple TV and everything, and on all the iPods and iPads and everything throughout the house, and he just loves it. And I loved the stage of life when he was singing this song over and over and over. In fact, let me just play the intro for you. I want to follow Jesus by Craig Anderson.
I want to be the fireman who puts out all the fires. I want to be the singer in a traveling show. I want to be the skipper in a boat out on the ocean. No matter where you take me, that's where I want to go.
And isn't that what it's all about? We want our kids to follow Jesus. Hey, it even fits our Kidmen key letter of the day. And one time we were in our driveway, and my son just wanted me to keep playing this song over and over and over. I mean, it was time to go inside, and this is what he wanted us to keep playing.
I want to be the one who washes windows in the airport.
I love that he even includes just such an ordinary job as watching windows in the airport. Well, it's such a great song, and it's about following Jesus and just inspiring kids that no matter what they're doing, no matter what their job, they just need to keep following Jesus. Love this part. Just hearing my son sing this was just such a blessing to me.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Well, it's a great song. If you want to hear the whole song, you can get the entire album as a download on Kidology and inspire your kids that no matter what job they end up having someday, they can do it all out following Jesus. Well, I'll play a couple more samples of Craig's music later on the show, but right now it's time to give away actually two free downloads of the entire CD. I was going to say album, but you know, most people don't even know what an album is nowadays. In fact, not too far into the future, people aren't even going to know what a CD is because it's all going to be downloads. But our Kidmin keyword letter of today is F, all right? And so we've got an F word for today. In fact, we've got two F words for today. And the winner for today, for two of them, the first one came in by Twitter. So if you're on Twitter, you can be the first. You can be fast. Someone else got it. Joni Lum, I'm sorry. You got it to me. But Stephen Hicks was first. He got it in by Twitter. And so he's going to be the first to win. And he got the first Kidmin keyword for today we're going to talk about. And it is the word fun. And then the second one we're going to talk about next is the word family. And I'm actually amazed. I seriously am shocked that that didn't come in multiple times. I mean, isn't that the buzzword of children's ministry today? Isn't everybody talking about family? I mean, hasn't there been entire conferences devoted to that? I mean, wasn't just everybody over at D6 talking about family? And isn't orange, I mean, isn't everybody drinking the orange Kool-Aid and wearing orange clothes and talking about the integration of family in children's ministry? And aren't people arguing about whether there should even be children's pastors anymore and everybody should be a family pastor instead? So I'm frankly shocked that it actually took Pastor Todd McKeever to just throw in family into his list of suggestions. And once again, Todd got it. And so he'll also be getting a free copy of Craig's Kids download CD. His kids are going to be blessed because it's a great CD. But it is an awesome CD. It's got great songs on it. It's got one of the best alphabet songs. I mean, I don't know how that fits into children's ministry, but it's great. It's toward the end of the CD, and my little boy absolutely loves that. It's got a fantastic song about roly-polies. That's right. I mean, so it's just got some fun stuff on there too. And but some really great songs about the Lord. And you'll just enjoy the entire CD. It's one I actually will listen to when my son's not even around. True confession. And that to me is the mark of really good music, when it can even be a blessing to adults. But let's shift gears here and talk about our first Kidmin keyword, the letter F. Now, this is one that I can be truly passionate about, and it is the word fun. And but it's also one that I'm passionate about in kind of a backwards, roundabout way. Now, anyone who's followed my ministry, certainly been in one of my children's ministries, knows that I'm a fun guy, okay? And I think I can say that without it being a prideful statement. I mean, I have been the Waternator. I have got a full water superhero costume with a chemical mask, and I've got super soakers like you have never seen. I have taken on 150 kids against me in a water fight, and I have won. I have been bone dry at the end of the water fight because of my Waternator outfit. I have taken on 400, 500 kids in a snowball fight, all of them against me at winter camp. And that's a story for another time. I love to have fun. I love to make my children's ministry fun. And yet at the same time, I like to say that I am serious about fun. In fact, a lot of times people have misunderstood the fun that I bring to children's ministry. And when they have gotten to talking to me about the fun in the ministry, or have gotten to talking to me about my children's ministry, and I'm really not talking about children's ministry professionals necessarily, but often really it's parents in my ministry or just other adults in my ministry, and they kind of saw the fun, they saw the hoopla, and they saw me in my silly costumes and things. And then when they got engaged with me in a conversation about philosophy of ministry or strategy, all of a sudden they would kind of shake their head and go, "Carl, I had no idea you were so serious about this." Because sometimes they couldn't see through or past the fun and to realize that I was dead serious about this children's ministry stuff and this discipling of kids and reaching kids and evangelizing kids. And they sometimes mistook me as a clown, as a goofball, as a guy who was just, you know, having fun and bringing fun. They didn't realize that there was a really intentional seriousness behind that. And I think sometimes people who get into children's ministry They see all this fun about children's ministry. It draws them to children's ministry, and they make the mistake of thinking that children's ministry is about the fun. And what they don't understand is that the fun is a tool, it's a means to the end, but it is not the end. And so many children's workers, I get frustrated when I hear them talking about when they're new to a ministry and they say, and I hear this quote all the time, man, the first thing I've got to do is make this ministry more fun. It is a boring ministry, man. You would not believe it. I mean, the rooms are boring. The classrooms are boring. Their children's church, man, it is boring. And I'm going to go in there and I'm going to make it fun. And I got to tell you, those are dangerous words. Because if you just make a ministry fun, you are completely missing the mark. Because Jesus did not say in Matthew 28 to go into all the world and to make ministry fun. Now, I'm not against fun. I started out by saying, I think I'm one of the funnest children's pastors in the world. And I used some bad grammar on purpose because I used the word funnest so much that people around me gave up on correcting my grammar because I just used that word so much. The first thing you need to do when you start a children's ministry is to make it a good ministry. You see, the measurement of a ministry is not how fun it is. Now, if it's not fun, it's not going to be very successful. And so that's where it gets confusing. But what makes a ministry effective is the answer to some very critical different questions, such as, are kids coming to Christ? How many children have come to Christ in your ministry in the last year? Can you answer that question? If you cannot answer that question and you have a fun ministry, you are a failure as a children's pastor. Because someday you're going to stand before Christ and he is going to want to know how many kids you introduced to the gospel message and how many kids came to Christ. Now, I'm not about the easy believism. I'm not about just getting them all to say a prayer. We could talk about that. That's not good. That's not healthy, just getting kids to repeat after you. Kids are gullible. Kids are impressionable. Yeah, you can make it fun. You can get them all to say a sinner's prayer, and that does not necessarily mean they're saved. Salvation is a heart change issue. Okay, that's an excuse, though. You still need to ask the question, how many kids genuinely came to a faith in Christ, decision, a life-changing change in their heart, in your ministry in the last year? Can you answer that question? That is a critical question. Another important question would be, are kids bringing their friends to church? That means they so love coming to church and they are reaching out to their friends and bringing them to church. And that's just where that fun plays in. But how many kids are bringing their friends to church? How many visitors did you have last year? Are kids, there's another question, are kids learning the Word of God? Do they know more about the Word of God at the end of 1 year than they knew the year before? How do you know that? Are you measuring that? Boy, when I implemented Bible tests in my children's ministry, that was not a very popular idea. That was not fun. But I told my team and my parents, I want to know, are my kids learning more? In fact, when I instituted some testing in my children's ministry and parents saw what their kids did not know about the Word of God, did not know the gospel, did not know some of the most basic things, parents began to say, you know, I don't really care about how fun it is. I care about what my kids know about the Word of God. And you know what? We started doing some testing. And it wasn't really fun on those Sundays, but it was very important because we wanted to know, are kids actually learning? Are lives changing? Are kids changing the way that they are making decisions? Are there sins in their lives that are stopping? Is there behaviors in their homes that are changing because of what's happening at church? Are they sharing Christ? Are there stories of kids actually sharing Christ with their friends? Have any kids led other kids to Christ? And most importantly, and here's the killer, are kids staying close to Christ after they leave the children's ministry? If you've got this fantastically fun children's ministry, I mean, it is so cool. It is so attractive. All the other churches in the area envy your church because it's so fun. You've packing it out. You've got the bells and the whistles and the lights and the prizes. But when they get to junior high and high school, they abandon their faith. You're a miserable failure. And I have to tell you, there are ministries that are not that fun, but those kids are rock solid and they stay following Christ when they leave the children's ministry. So does that mean that fun is bad? No, it doesn't. But what it means is that fun should never become the first order of business. Your educational goals, your outreach goals, your curriculum, your foundation has to become first. They make it, and then, you make it fun to draw them in. In other words, you need to build something that is worthy of being fun, and then you make it fun. Let me say it to you this way. If you bake a really bad cake, you use bad ingredients or you leave it out and mold grows in, you can put frosting on that thing, you can cover it in sugar candies, and you can get the kids to eat it, but they're still going to get sick. It's still going to taste bad when they bite into it. Putting sugar on bad cake is not going to make a good cake. It's still a bad cake. So you want to have a fun ministry, but you don't want it just to be frosting on a weak, ineffective ministry. And as I travel around the country, I see a lot of weak, ineffective ministries that are fun. And I also see some really effective, solid ministries that are really kind of sad in the fun department. It doesn't need to be either extreme. It needs to be both. But you start by building a solid, good ministry that is making disciples of kids. And then you make it fun so you can get the kids there. Not just the parents who come, so they, the kids have to come because their parents throw them in the car and say, "You're going to church today." So what makes a ministry fun? Well, I love acronyms. I've told you before, I think acronyms are wonderful. I have an acronym for acronym, a crazy riddle of nuggets that yields meaning. BMW, you know what that stands for? Break my windows. Yeah, a Fiat is fix it again today. Okay, I won't give you any more acronyms today. But I have an acronym for fun. And the F is simply that it's funny. You know what? Kids need to laugh. And you need to do things that make kids laugh. And that's as simple as putting on a big Afro wig and coming out and acting like you don't see it, wearing goofy clothes, wearing costumes, doing skits, doing things that make kids laugh. Now, I was doing a children's ministry conference one time, and I told the story of how when I go into a classroom and I wave at the kids, I'll let the door close on my arm, and then I'll kind of do a complete 360 with my body, with my arm inside the room, if you can visualize that, and then I'll pull my arm out, and the kids all laugh. And I had a children's pastor email me, but that was the best thing he learned at my entire workshop. That's kind of embarrassing to admit to you. But he said he went home, and he applied the arm in the door principle, and he said it transformed his ministry. So there's a great ministry transforming principle for you. But simple little things, just being funny makes kids laugh, being willing to laugh at yourself, and it helps. The letter U, unexpected. Don't bore kids. They love surprises. I plan surprises into my lessons, all right? So that even I look unexpected. I've had alarms go off. I've had the fire alarm go off, so we all had to evacuate the building and do the rest of my lesson outside. All right, I've done my lesson up on the roof of the church. All right, I've had the room be boarded up, and we had to move to the gym, and I've taught from a lift. Do something unexpected. Something as simple as making all the chairs point the opposite direction and teach from the other side of the room one Sunday. Even if it doesn't have a point, just do it. Just do something unexpected. So when the kids come in, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They feel disoriented and discombobulated. Discombobulate your kids. Just do something unexpected and it will surprise them. It'll catch them off guard and it will be fun. When I was at Moody Church in Chicago, Kitty Corner from the Moody Historical Memorial Church, there's a Burger King. And one Sunday, I just took my entire children's church over to Burger King. Looking back, I'm like, oh, that was terrible. We didn't do permission slips. I didn't tell the parents ahead of time. I should have numbered the kids, but whatever. I did it. I just took the whole children's church over to Burger King, but it was unexpected. And the N, F funny, U unexpected, N new. And this is similar to the unexpected, but do something new. What have you never done before? And just do it, all right? And even if it's a complete flop, it doesn't matter. You only have to do it once. But do something new. Shake things up. If you ever want the kids' attention, just say, "We're going to do something new today." You will instantly have all of their attention. So make your ministry fun. Just make sure it's a good ministry, solid ministry. You've laid a good foundation. and you're making disciples, you're following up kids, you're leading them to Christ. And if you want to get into that deeper, you need to dive into the Kidology online training. I go into great detail on making a ministry fun, what those ministry foundational things are, how to develop a vision for your ministry, and all of that's covered in the Kidology online training. I'm not really trying to plug something, but I guess I am. And so go ahead. Just consider that a plug. It's an official plug. Fun is critical and it is important, but not fun for the sake of fun. It's fun for the sake of bringing them there because you've got something valuable that's worth to have. And then be willing to turn that fun off. You know, what I used to do often when I was teaching is I had this really nice stool. I spent $100 on this really nice stool, nice padded stool. I had to put on the bottom property of Carl Bashing because people would steal my stool all the time. I get there on Sunday morning, my stool's gone. I have to search the whole church. Turned out the worship pastor had stolen it, or some adult classroom had stolen it. I had to always go find my stool. You know, nobody read the bottom where I had my name on it. Anyway, I had this really nice stool. At the end of Children's Church, after we'd had fun with skits and dramas and puppet shows and everything, I would take that stool out into the middle of the kids and sit it down. I'd sit on it. And I would pull all the kids in. I'd ask them to just scrunch in closely. Pull all their chairs in. I'd say, you know what? You know I like to have fun. We've had a lot of fun today, but right now, I'd like to turn the fun off and I'd like to get serious. And I would just share from my heart. But because we'd had fun, I'd earned the right to do that. And I would talk serious about things, but the fun earns you that right. So fun is very important because kids are wondering things. There's just all kinds of things they're wondering about. In fact, Craig's got a great song called I Wonder Why.
And I wonder why the clouds are in the sky. What makes them float? What makes them fly? How do they store up all the rain they have inside? I wonder why.
I wonder too.
And I wonder why the ocean is so blue. Who made that color? I wonder who. Who makes the waves to fall and rise? And I wonder why.
The song makes me want to make a list of all the things I wonder about.
Why can't I see the wind? Why can't I touch the sky? Why can't I walk on water? Why can't I learn to fly? Why can't I play forever? I've always wondered why. I wonder, wonder, wonder why.
So do I.
Won't you take a little time to take a look around you and see what God has made? Some things I can understand, but I know that it's all just a part of God's plan. It's gonna take a minute. It's gonna so hot, and why are bugs so small? Why do the leaves change in the fall? Well, I can't recall. God made the heavens, God made the earth, God made forever, and God made the universe. God knows the answers to every what and why. God made everything, that's why.
Oh, it's just a great song all about the things the kids wonder and goes through a whole list of them, and just another one of me and Luke's favorite songs, I Wonder Why. Now, before we jump ahead to the next Kidman keyword that starts with the letter F, I've got to jump to the letter K. Nope, not the Kidman keyword that starts with K, but K Magazine, our sponsor on today's program, because the current issue of K Magazine, which I have right here in my fingers, is all about creativity. Now, I've got an article in here on page 89 on unleashing your creativity, which we talked about back in the Kidman talk on the letter C, but there is a whole bunch of awesome articles in here about creativity. So you have got to get your hands on this magazine. So I tell you what, if you are not already a subscriber to K Magazine, I want to get a copy of this issue in your hands. Now, they gave me several copies of it because I had an article in this issue, and so I want to give them away. In fact, I texted Ryan and said, can I give away some subscriptions? And he said, absolutely. He said 5 or 10. That's pretty generous. So here's what I'm going to do. The first 5 up to 10 people who email me at carl@kidmintalk.com, you email me your address, because Ryan will need your address, and I will email to Ryan, and he will give you a free year subscription to K Magazine, and I will drop a copy in the mail to you of the current issue, because I think when they do a subscription, it'll probably start with the next issue, and I don't want you to miss this copy. So I will mail you a copy of the current issue, Creativity in Ministry, spelled with a K, which of course I like, being Carl with a K. So do you got that? Email me, Carl with a K, at kidmintalk.com. And just say, I want a free subscription to K Magazine. It'll be the first 5 or 10. Now, the track record of people taking me up on this free stuff is not very good. I offered 5 free Kidology online training lab ones last week, and I didn't even give away all 5. So Ryan's offering up 5 to 10, and my guess is I'm not even going to give away 10. Because most of you listening, and thousands are listening to this podcast, you all are assuming that, you're too late, or other people already took care of it. You know, a lot of people are listening, but we're not, this ain't Rush Limbaugh's show, okay? This is not like 20 million people. So you have a chance. So email and say, I want a free subscription to K Magazine. Now, the only problem I can see is that a lot of you are already getting it. So you need to ask some friends or whatever. But the first 5 to 10 who email me their address, I'm going to forward that on to Ryan. He's going to give you a free subscription, and I'm going to immediately drop a copy of this current issue in the mail to you on my dime. So that's the deal. Free subscription to K Magazine, a free copy of this current issue, because you've got to read these articles on creativity, because they're all just fantastic. And even though I've got an article in there, I learned and really enjoyed reading the other ones, because the whole issue is around that theme. So that's K. You can also go to thekmagazine.com and just take care of it there, should you miss out on being one of the free 10 ones. So let's move ahead and talk about this very important final letter F of family ministry. Now, I know it's hip and it's hot, but I also think that it's distracting us a little bit from children's ministry, because everybody's all bent out of shape over this family ministry, and oh, we've been doing it all wrong, and they're writing articles about it, and everybody's getting kind of torn out of shape. And so some people are completely, you know, going nuts over the family ministry. Some people are going, you know what, I don't have time to deal with that, because, you know what, I just got classes of staff on Sunday. They kind of got this guilt feeling, like, I know I should be dealing with this family ministry, but you know what, I just got a ministry to run, and so they're kind of ignoring it. There's all these different reactions to family ministry. You know, what I would like to say in just a nutshell here is our mission is still the same. Jesus said to go into all the world and make disciples of all men, and that includes children. So what has changed? Well, really what has changed is that as a church and as children's ministry corporately, we have figured out that we can't do it, shouldn't do it, in a vacuum without parents, and because that's a lot of what was going on. But we still exist to fill in the gap when parents can't or won't or don't do it or are non-existent, which is often the case. So I would like to caution you to be aware of what I call the family ministry pendulum swing. You see, often people go to a family ministry conference such as D6 or orange, and they hear all these great messages about how we need to be including parents or integrating with parents or blending children's ministry with family ministry. And they go back and they think, oh my goodness, I've got to completely change everything that I'm doing. I've got to just scrap it all and start all over and redo everything. And that's not necessarily true. Don't stop what you're doing. Just create a family-friendly ministry or a family-inclusive ministry and be more of a resource to parents. You don't need to hand it over to parents. In other words, it's not a pendulum swing. You know, see, too often what happens is people will go to the Orange Conference and they will be so blown away by this awesome and incredible and good message of bringing the two together, you know, what parents need to be doing, what the church needs to be doing, you know, the yellow and the red and merging it into this orange. And so what they do is they drink the orange Kool-Aid is what I call it. And they go, man, then I just got to do it all orange. And so they come home and then they think, I got to buy the orange curriculum. Now, what I want to say is not, I'm not against orange. I think the orange philosophy is great. But when you go home and think, and I hear people say, man, I got to buy the orange curriculum, but I can't afford it. You know, we're a small church. Thinking orange or buying into the orange philosophy does not mean you have to buy the orange curriculum. And hear me carefully on this, because I don't want anyone to misinterpret that I'm being critical of orange, because I'm not. When Reggie Joyner realized biblically this principle of this merger and this blending that he calls orange, the way he applied that principle was in writing a virtue-based curriculum. But that is an application of a biblical principle. They're not one and the same. Similarly, you could go to a D6 conference and hear all these great messages about parents and partnering with parents and working with parents, but you don't necessarily have to buy the D6 curriculum because that is an application of the biblical principles. You can go home with the orange philosophy or the D6 messages or your own reading of scripture and apply them in a different way. So when you choose a curriculum, you need to ask yourself, what am I trying to accomplish educationally? So when you evaluate the orange curriculum, it's not about whether you want to apply the orange philosophy, because when you evaluate a curriculum, you say, this is a virtue-based curriculum. Is my educational goal for my children to have a virtue-based curriculum? Is my highest educational goal to teach virtues to all the children of my ministry? Is that really my highest aim? Do I want to create virtuous children? Now, if the answer is yes, then buy the curriculum. But that may not necessarily be the highest goal that you want to teach your kids. You may have some other educational goals. The way I applied the orange in my church is I loved having a monthly virtue that we focused on. We partnered with parents with a monthly theme of a monthly virtue, but my belief was there was a whole lot more that I wanted to accomplish educationally than a virtue. My role as a children's pastor was not to help create good kids. That was one factor as a church in partnering with parents to help them raise good kids, but that wasn't my role as a church, to raise good kids, virtuous kids. That's just one aspect of parenting, and I'm willing to partner with parents and help them, but I didn't want that to be the foundation of my educational ministry to create good kids and good virtuous kids. I had many other aspects. And so I plugged in parts of that curriculum. In fact, I loved using their virtue packs and sending them home monthly with our VIP parents. If you're familiar with the very intentional parenting ministry that we have with parents that we actually partnered with, who signed on to be parent partners with us. And so we use that. So my point is not against the curriculum or for the curriculum, but saying when you partner with parents, when you buy into that philosophy, what you do is you say, what do I want to accomplish with my families? And how am I best going to go about doing that? You don't have to go home and change everything that you're doing. You take from what you learn at Orange, you take from what you learn at D6, you take from what you learn on Kidology and other websites and other blogs, and then you decide how are you going to apply that. And there's a lot of different ways that you can do it. And it doesn't have to be a complete rewrite and a complete change in your ministry. a family inclusive or a family focused or a family friendly ministry can be done without a radical rewrite of your entire ministry. It might be as simple as inviting parents to participate more instead of just saying, hey, you know what, we'll raise godly kids for you. You just bring them to church and we'll do it for you. A lot of ministries and a lot of programs are changing their curriculum and changing the way they do things because they're realizing that they need to include the parents more. And that's a change you're seeing across all kinds of ministries and programs. Communicating more with parents. Here's what we're doing. That's one reason in Disciple Town, the children's church curriculum that I write for the teacher a whole email template in a Word doc and in the curriculum so that you can just send home an email on Tuesdays. I recommend, here's what we did in children's church. Here's what we're learning. Here's some questions you can ask. Here's some things that they saw in children's church, just so that the parent knows and that they can talk about what they're learning in church. Include parents in events rather than dropping them off. You know, when Group came out with their family VBS, I was like, why haven't I been doing this for years? You know, it made recruiting so much easier. And when we did this Jerusalem VBS and all of the parents were there and they were just going through VBS with their kids, participating with their kids, learning with their kids, I was like, this is, duh. Why didn't I do this before? I would never do a VBS the old way again. Or I would do both. I would do a regular VBS during the day and I would do a family VBS in the evening and just including parents more and finding out what kind of events can I do with parents. You know, when the Chronicles of Narnia came out, we did a movie night with the parents. So just including parents more. Equipping parents to lead in the home. Training parents to lead in the home. Visiting parents to just listen and to learn and to find out what they're struggling with. Asking parents what would help them in their parenting. You see, family ministry isn't about changing everything we do. It's about not working in a vacuum anymore so that neither of us knows what the other is doing. It's about opening up the dialogue between parents and church leadership and honestly addressing the fact that we're losing the battle for many of our kids. And we need to team up to ensure that our children have the spiritual foundation they need to survive in this spiritually decaying culture. Too much focus today is on creating good kids when we need to be focusing on raising up disciples of Jesus Christ. The church that takes the great commission that Jesus gave us seriously in its own church and children's ministry and brings parents into the struggle will find a higher success rate than churches that merely try to implement some kind of program or curriculum as a quote solution. Friends, there is no solution on the market that addresses the problem we're facing with their kids. There's only people who can pour their lives into the lives of children, one child at a time, or one family at a time. And that's what ministry is all about. So you've got to decide, what is it I'm trying to accomplish in the lives of my kids and the family of my kids? And what resources are there out there that can help? Some of it's going to come from Orange. Some of it's going to come from D6. Some of it's going to come from Group Publishing. Some of it's going to come from Disciple Land. Some of it's going to come from David C. Cook. Some of it's going to come from homemade stuff that you find on the web that's for sale on Kidology or on Kids Matter or wherever else you find it on the internet, and you're going to be able to pick and choose. In fact, I would challenge you to take a look at part 7 of the Kids Church Cookbook. If you don't teach kids church, just look at part 7. It's the master planning of a children's ministry. It's called the master menu planning of deciding what are you trying to accomplish overall in your children's ministry. And then you look at all these resources out there and you plug them in and you pick and choose and you make a master plan for the next 3 years. And then as different cool fatty things come out, you look and you say, well, where can I plug this in? Where will it fit? Maybe I'll have to pull something else out I planned and plug this in. But you have a master plan for your children's ministry so that you see what it is you're trying to accomplish and what tools you can use from different ministries. But don't feel that you've got to throw out, you know, the baby with the bathwater and start all over, because you don't. Family ministry is really not that complicated. It's a matter of just working with parents, bringing them in, and including them. But family ministry isn't everything, because not every kid is in a family. Not every family's engaged. And we've got to stand in the gap for the kids who are not part of a family. Because ultimately, our goal is that out of all the things that they would like Jesus.
I really like to fish.
I like to play jump rope and walk in the ditch.
I like to play baseball
and go for a swim. But most of all, I like Jesus.
This is such an excellent song. Because it's all about all the things we like, but making Jesus number one.
I like lemonade when I'm hot and thirsty.
I like to make magpies and get real dirty.
I like popsicles.
Well, that's Craig Anderson. I would encourage you, check out his music, introduce it to your kids, and make sure that you make him a part of your kids' ministry. Well, as I wrap up yet another Kidmin Talk, let me just encourage you, please interact on Twitter, Facebook, the forum. Hey, and if you have won something and have not yet received it, we've given away so much stuff, we think we might have missed a few in the gaps. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Email me, Carl at Kidmin Talk, and say, hey, I didn't get my prize yet. And we will make sure that we take good care of you. Well, this wraps up yet another Kidmin Talk. I'm looking forward to next week when we are going to talk about the Kidmin keyword that starts with the letter G. Do you think you know what it is? Now remember, you can guess, you can even suggest, because I've got in my mind what I think it's going to be, but you have the power to change my mind. You also have the power to shape the show. So communicate, email, forum, Twitter, and tell me what you think it should be. Also, anything else that you would like me to talk about or discuss or react to in the world of Kidmin, because that's what I'm here for, to talk Kidmin here on Kidmin Talk.